Good morning, everyone. We are honored today. We have a special guest speaker from Parts Unknown. And hopefully he don't go off to Part Unknown again, but it's an honor to have Mr. Hoag up here. He's done a
Yay!
Thank you. Give him a hand.
Yay!
Thank you. Man. He brought his own fan club. That's good. It's a start of one, right?
Amen.
At least you got one. That's more than... I think That's Pastor Don and I together don't have one.
Yeah,
I've
never had one.
But we're honored to have him up here this morning. He's been traveling and working for quite a few years. Now he's kind of laid back and always in town.
I've definitely been traveling.
We're going to put him to work this morning. He's taught a lot of classes here. He's just never done a Sunday morning. But he is an excellent teacher. We're honored to have him here.
Wow.
And I would like Pastor Don to pray for him, if you would, Pastor.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let's bow our heads. Father, we give you thanks for this time. We thank you for the food that we receive. But, Lord, we lift up our brother now who is going to set the table before us spiritually. We pray, Father, that you would anoint him, that you would use him mightily to bring forth the word that you have laid upon his heart. We give you thanks for the gift that he has. Just bless him and bless his time, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. I will add one thing. Kind of when I asked him to talk, I had mentioned you see giftings in people. And whenever I see Mark and see him in action, I always think of evangelism. He has a heart for that. He really does. So I asked him if he would kind of go in that direction, which he did, because, you know, it's good to stay with something you know and something that you love and something that's really true to your heart. And this man definitely has an evangelistic spirit.
Yes,
so
amen.
It's all yours.
Well, I can say one thing. I've never been mic'd before, so it's good. But, you know, you see that picture of Charles Atlas. He's holding the world. You know, I'll tell you what, this introduction and this prayer and all that, I mean, there's a lot of weight on me. I'm a teacher. I'm an evangelist. I'm all of this stuff. But I don't know what I am, but hey.
And a great husband.
All right. I just thank God. I just thank God I'm a child of God. And, you know, on that note, I know this is something a little different. What I'd like to do this morning, just for 10 or 15 seconds, is I know we're going to be down in the sanctuary soon, and it's something we should do every day, but today is Father's Day, and there's no better father than our Heavenly Father. I mean, I can do that. And I would just like maybe 10 seconds. Let's just put our fork down. Let's just praise God just for 10 or 15 seconds, just to get things going, and just lift up your hands. Be as loud as you want. Be as quiet as you want. But in the name of Jesus, I give you glory, Father God. I thank you, Lord, because you are honorable. You are mighty. You are the creator of heaven and earth, Lord God. You brought your children out of Egypt, Lord God. You split the Red Sea, Father God. You are mighty. You are holy. You are glorified. And Lord God, we thank you for being our Father. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. I'd like to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers here. I can only speak for this church and one man in Matthew's church that they're great fathers. Everybody here is a godly father, and it's an honor to know you people. And I'd like to introduce an old friend of Sandy and I. I've known Kathy over 50 years. I've known Marty over 60 years. It's Marty Zambo and his wife, Kathy.
Thank you.
Marty!
Matthew and I grew up in the same neighborhood. We went to the same school for 12 years. Sandy and I and Marty lockered together during high school. We worked at the fire department together. And it's just, we've done so many things together. It's just, he's probably the closest person other than my wife on the face of this earth. And it is an honor that you are both here. And the best thing about it all, they're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I thank you so much for being here. You just don't know what it means to me.
Amen.
I'd like to thank Bob for the opportunity to do this. I've always felt like unless you're involved in doing something, you need to get off the bench, get into the game, be part of the game, get you reading more, praying more, listening more, just doing more things than you think you do. And once again, I said, they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but I guess you can. Like I said, I have a mic on me, and that's never happened before, I'll tell you that. But and during this course, I encourage comments. Anybody wants to say anything, you go right ahead. Ask me any question. Doesn't mean I'm going to answer it, but you can ask me anything you want to do. It's just, it's an honor to be up here. Well, a couple weeks ago, Bob did some teaching, and he entitled it The Three A's. And they were authority, accountability, and action. And it got me thinking about, you know, what can I call this thing? And back in the fire department days, we used to always watch wrestling. And one of my favorite wrestlers, his name was Hunter Hearst Helmsley. That's Triple H. I goes, oh, that would be nice to have a teaching Triple H. But what I was going to do is I named my thing the Triple E, after evangelical, evangelist, and evangelism. And I was going to play a video which would kind of incorporate how important letters are in our education system. But I guess we'll have to pass on that, it looks like. Okay. But, you know, it's funny. This was, not that I'm counting, but it was 73 days ago that Bob asked me to do this. 73 days. My rule is at least give me 30 days. But 73 days I've been walking around, pacing, talking. What do I do? What do I do? I'm laying things everywhere. I got things laid all over the place.
Thanks, Bob.
And about and I'm a pacer. In fact, it's hard to believe I'm standing right here. But, you know, about a week or so ago, I started putting things together, and it's like, what's going on here? I don't even know what I'm doing. I got notes for over here, notes for over there, scriptures here, scriptures there, a saying here, a quote there, a video here. I'm going, I don't even know what I'm doing. So I just pray, Lord, I don't know how to put this together. And just, you know, obviously you're always going to pray to the Holy Spirit to help you do anything. So I just, hey, help me put this together, and we'll see. It kind of reminded me, there was a Seinfeld episode where he woke up in the middle of the night, if anybody watched it, and he had this joke, and he wrote it down. And then he woke up in the morning, and he didn't know what it said. He couldn't figure out. Nobody knew what it said. So I feel like kind of Seinfeld. I don't know what I put together, but we're going to do that. And as soon as we get this thing together here, it would be good. But let's get going on the first E, and whenever this thing gets together, it's my fault for not being here. Well, it's actually Sandy's fault that we didn't get here earlier.
Yeah.
So first it's Sandy, then it was Jonathan. Jonathan took about 30 seconds to come out of his house. So, you know, this is what's
got. Wasn't he?
Yeah, I was walking down Southfield. I goes, Where's Jonathan? I got to get this video. Without the video, I can't do it. Oh, what am I going to do? But you know what? I'm going to have to make do.
So, it was the Three Stooges, for heaven's sake.
Oh, come on. You just ruined it. I don't know what it is about the Three Stooges, but whenever I get a chance, I have to have the Stooges video. Whenever I'm doing something, I look, oh, how do the Stooges fit into this? It's a thing because I had a DNA test done, and it came out I was 50% Moe, 50% Larry, and 50% Curly. So it's in my DNA that I have to show the Stooges, and as simple as that. So if I don't get the Stooges on before this is over with, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. But I think but
we'll have to bring you back.
Pull it up on your video.
Oh, you go.
Well, pull it up on your phone.
Okay, well, let me share something then.
Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Hey.
Hold on 1 minute, sir. We want to get this
Well, since we're waiting for the video,
it's appropriate that we're talking about evangelism, because without Mark's and Sandy's witness, we probably wouldn't be here today, because it was 30-some years ago, 1982, 86 in May, that they came over our house. Them, another two couples came over, and they didn't tell us what we needed to do to be saved. They just loved on us, and they shared their testimony. And with that, it put such a desire in our heart. That night, my wife and I just happened, to turn on the TV, and the preacher was preaching a simple salvation message. We got down on our knees in front of the TV and prayed that, and we have been blessed ever since, saved. And we thank Mark and Sandy. That's,
you're going to make me cry, brother. Don't make me cry, brother. Don't make me cry.
All right, now top that.
I can't.
So I got a story to share, too, then.
Go ahead. I mean, hey, what the heck? Have at it, brother. See, I mentioned the Stooges. It just loosens everybody up. They always want to start talking.
Yeah, hey, we're kind of the Three Stooges, too. So
Stand up, brother.
All right, stand up.
There you go.
All right, I don't want to be walking there. So actually, just like a little story. A lot of people don't know how I actually got to this church, but I was washing windows.
You often wondered that.
Yeah. I smelled the food. And that was even before Ricardo. Well, I knew Ricardo, so. Yeah, but anyway, I was washing windows for a job for Matt. At one of these retirement homes, and we got to go into the units, and I was outside, like on the ladder, because I was kind of the ladder guy doing the high stuff, and Mark was inside washing these windows, for Matt, and I just hear him chirping away with all these senior citizens, just sharing the gospel, praying for him, saying, you know, be blessed. I'm like, I think I even asked you, and I talked to a couple of others. I was like, who is this guy? And I was like, well, I was out of church. I had been out of church for almost a year at that point, just not for bad reasons for me. It was just it was a bad church. And I was like, whatever church this guy's going to, I want to check it out. And so that's actually how I ended up coming to this church as well, because of Mark's evangelism. So.
Okay, well, excuse me.
Hello, this is, I'm Sandy Hogan. I'm married to him. Okay. So, I went to a girls' luncheon the other day. We do it twice a year, once at Christmas and once in June. And one of the girls came up to me and said, I said something about Marty. And she goes, oh, Marty. And she started crying. She said that Marty and Mark, when they drove rescue, that you always wanted them to be the ones to pick you up because they would pray with you all the way to the hospital. She goes, they prayed for my dad, who is like the biggest heathen in the world, and it changed his life. And so it's always been, I don't know how many times I've been stopped in the street for people to tell me, wow, your husband and Marty prayed over my dad, my mother, my aunt, my sister, my kid, whatever, and it totally changed my life. And so that was something I had to share about you guys. Love you guys.
Look at this, my head like getting this big. What's going on around here?
Good. Time for one more testimony. Anybody else?
No, that's the time.
Last call. I'll give one while he's... I always like Mark because he's nothing like me. He's a quiet man, a man of few words, right? Just like Pastor Don. So, but yet, he always gets his message through. A man like that, it's not just what he says, but it's his actions that I've always watched. He always says the right thing when he's prodded a little bit, but I've always watched his actions, and he always does, without looking for any accolades or anything, what is right. And we do have another tester, another teacher.
I think we're ready.
Hi, this is Sandy. No, his sister. We were at a party at his family's party last week, and his sister goes, what happened to Mark? He was the quietest person in the whole world. For 60 years, I never heard him talk. He goes, but now he never shuts up. What is it? I goes, it's the Lord. It's the Lord.
Hold on. One more.
No more.
One more.
All right. Jeez. Uh-oh. The best for last, eh?
Yeah, I was going to tell the story at the Wichita Indian Reservation about witnessing to the ladies, you know. Speak about, you know. It was probably at that point he wished he would have remained quiet, you know. But Mark, he had gone many mission trips with us, and one thing I always remember is we were coming back from Mexico, and we got on the plane, and we had just seated, we're getting ready to take off, and, you know, they're getting ready to do the announcements with the stewardesses, and Mark got up there and got everybody's attention on that plane and just began to say, hey, we're, you know, from Detroit, blah, 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 we're here on a mission trip, and just began to thank everybody, and then led the plane in prayer. And I'm sitting there just laughing. Who is this guy? You know, because they're right. If you would have known Mark, you know, years ago, they'd go to a party. Sandy used to tell me he'd sit in a corner. He wouldn't say nothing. He would just sit there like a bump on a log, you know. But it shows you that when the Spirit of God moves upon you and puts that fire in your heart, man, you just can't help but speak. And so, you know, and we've seen that in all people, that God does a transformation process in each and every one of us if we just surrender ourselves. And so we've seen that in Mark, and, you know, proud to be his pastor and friend.
Amen.
And, you know, and see what God has done in their life.
This is a video to show how important letters are in our education.
Ladies and gentlemen,
system.
I'm going to sit down. I'm going to test your mental coordination. Sit down. I'm going to test your mental coordination with a little... Sit down! With a little number called... Swinging the alphabet.
Right.
I'll explain it so even you can understand. My colleagues will assist. Ready, sister? Get that junk out of here. Come on, boys. Scram. I'll give you the idea in a nutshell. B-A, bay. B-E-B. B-I, bicky by. B-O, bo.
For those that are old enough, sing along with it.
Cutie Pie, pound those horse teeth.
B-A-B-E-B-B-I-Bicky-Bye-B-O-Bo-Bicky-Bye-Bo-B-U-Boo-Bicky-Bye-Bo-Boo. C-A-C-E-C-E-C-I-Sicky-Sigh-C-O-So-Sicky-Sigh-So-C-U-Soo-Sicky-Sigh-So-Soo.
Woo! Get the idea, girls? Now we'll all join together on the letter D.
Was 80 years old. That was 80 years ago. So I said, hey, all the ones that are old enough to sing along, all right, let's actually get involved with something that I had spent 73 days putting together. Let's start with the first E, because this is three E's, is evangelical. You know, I didn't know much about that word. Really didn't, you know, been serving the Lord a long time, sometimes better than others, but I just figured, hey, I was a Christian, follower of Christ. That's what I was. And then this last election, I kept reading about the evangelicals pushed Trump to victory. I'm going, huh? I goes, you know what? I voted for Trump. What is it? Am I an evangelical? So I went on, you know, the internet, and I looked at it. I went up to the National Association of Evangelicals. And evangelicals take the Bible seriously. Believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. The term evangelical comes from the Greek word evangelion, meaning the good news or the gospel. Thus, the evangelical faith focuses on the good news of salvation brought to sinners by Jesus Christ. And they're talking about they went through all kinds of different denominations that people say they're evangelicals, but they're really not. So this NAE put together four tests. Are you an evangelical? So I figured, hey, let me look at it and maybe I can put up some scriptures and see what happens. The first one is, the Bible is the highest authority for what I believe. What does the word say? 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That sounds like the word of God is the highest authority. And then again, in 1 Peter 1:20 and 21, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture comes about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they carried along by the Holy Spirit. That makes it pretty obvious that the Bible is the highest authority. It comes from God. People wrote it inspired by God, and we all know that. The second one, what it is very important for me personally to encourage non-Christians to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. So I found 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So I thought, you know what? If God himself is patient and waiting for so many people, they want more and more people not to perish, then it's upon us to go out there and preach the gospel and get more people into heaven, get more people into the kingdom of God. So it is very important for us to encourage non-Christians about the Bible, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the third one is, Jesus Christ's death on the cross is the only sacrifice that could remove the penalty of my sin. And I was actually going to get some things here. This one's a little longer, but I think it ends up being what it's supposed to be. This is in Hebrews 10, 1 through 10. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never be the same sacrifice repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Jesus Christ came into the world, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Without burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. Verse 8. First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So that's it. There's no more sacrifices needed. He's made the final sacrifice. And I know there's some religions out there that continue every Sunday their rites that they think they're sacrificing God every Sunday. Every week there's a new sacrifice, a new sacrifice, a new sacrifice. That's not needed. He has done it, and that's it. And then the fourth thing was, only those who trust in Jesus Christ alone as their Savior receives God's free gift of salvation. In John 1:12, yet to all received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God.
Amen.
And Acts 16:31, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved and your household. So, amen. So what I learned, I've read about that is, I got to believe I'm an evangelical. Just by going those four statements right there, I'm an evangelical. Like I said, it's not a word that I really knew much about, never really cared too much about it, never knew what it meant or what it didn't mean. But once again, like I said, when they said the evangelicals pushed Trump to victory, I figured, hey, I better let me see what this even means. Okay, that's the first E. The second E on the list was evangelist. A person who seeks to convert others to the Christian faith, especially by public speaking. And another thing they put in there, it's called Bible thumper. And that, as it turns out, as I read about Bible thumper, it's like a slur, actually, when you get right down to it. I just thought, hey, it's cool, you know, I'm beating my Bible, I'm a good guy. But actually, it's a slur. And the first definition is someone perceived as aggressively imposing their Christian beliefs upon others. The term derives from preachers thumping their hands down on the Bible or thumping the Bible itself to emphasize a point during a sermon. There were some definitions in there that I'm not repeating here. It's not good at all if you're called a Bible thumper. It ain't a good thing. And it kind of reminds me of sometimes we go to these fairs and these festivals and you get these group of people, it's always the same people. You know, they walk up, there's six or seven of them, they got their Bibles in their hand, they got their big posts and, you know, they're quoting scriptures where, you know, repent right now, you're dead, you're a bum, you're a lowlife. I mean, it's just all negative stuff. And they're sitting there and they're yelling and they're screaming. And to me, if I'm a non-Christian looking at these guys are nuts. I don't want nothing to do with these people. I just think, I don't know. I can't, you know, it's not up to me to judge them what they do or what they don't do. I mean, they're preaching the word of God, but is it having any effect on anybody besides, I don't like these guys. And so let's go to the Urban Dictionary definition.
All right.
And this is the easy one that I can read. One who uses the Bible to attack or defame others' character instead of as a guide to proper living. These people tend to be depressingly ignorant of anything else except the Bible and behavior as expected by the religious. And like I said, that's the definition that I can actually talk about. So I always thought maybe Bible thumper was a good thing, but actually, if you're called a Bible thumper, you're being a little bit too aggressive. I don't know how where that line is drawn between being a Bible person or a Bible thumper. Although I just don't want to step over that line. I don't want people walking away from me going, I don't be no Christian. That guy's a maniac. So, and you know, it was back in the 70s, doing what you do in the 70s. It was getting near to 77, 78 when I ran into my first evangelist. I didn't know it at the time. It was my sister Mary. She's the first person that ever expressed the gospel to me. And I thought, I goes, you're nuts. Leave me alone. Don't bug me. And for 2 years, she talked to me, witnessed to me. And back then, I was an animal. There's no other way to describe the type of person I was back then. And I would just abuse her, verbally abuse her. And blah. And then, you know, it's just one day I came to a realization that, you know what, she's absolutely right. I was laying in bed. I goes, you know what? If I died, I ain't going to heaven. Are you kidding me? I mean, I was brought up in the Catholic religion. I had like a basis of God and heaven. I just figured purgatory, 10,000 years, I'll move on up to heaven. It's all good. So that was my thought. I don't care. Everything's good. You know, pray. You know, do some prayers for me at church, and I'm all good. But I realized that if someone, I'm dead. I'm going to hell, flat out. So I made that commitment right there in that bed. And from the next day, I found my sister. And I started listening to her. I started reading. We started attending a little Bible study. And here I am. I don't know how that ever happened, but here I am. Yeah, I just, the Lord took Mary home early. She was only 49. She passed away from breast cancer. But she was the most ardent defender of the Bible I've ever seen. She was go to places that maybe we shouldn't have been. But you know what? I just thought of it the other day. I was telling Sandy. He goes, you know what? The Apostle Paul was in prison. And people were preaching the gospel to try and help him. And people were preaching the gospel to try and hurt him. He goes, either way, the gospel is being preached. So maybe she was at a couple places. She never drank. But she would go to euchre tournaments and places like that. And she was a great euchre player. But she's preaching the gospel continually, continually, continually while she's winning. You know. But so I always thought, you know what? Like the Apostle Paul said, she's preaching the gospel. It can't. These people are probably hearing something. They're never going to hear. You know, while she's saying, hey, I'll go alone, but can I tell you about Jesus? But she was somebody I'll never forget, and I really, really, really look forward to seeing her again when the Lord calls me home. I get excited just thinking about seeing her again. I just love her. She was great. She was awesome. She was great. And the thing about evangelists, it's only mentioned 3 times in the Bible. Ephesians 4:11 through 13. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and still some to be pastors. Acts 21:8. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the home of Philip, the evangelist, one of the seven. And I'm sure we've already, one of the seven was back then. The apostles had so many things going on that they delegated. You know, that was the first delegation. They started delegating things to people. Hey, you take care of the widows. You take care of the orphans. You take care of the elderly. And Philip was one of the best at it. And then in 2 Timothy 4:5, but you keep your head in situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. I remember when I first came to the Lord, I would watch TBN quite a bit. And I know through the years there's been some change in that, but 30 years ago, it was a different place. They had people on there, some evangelists. I remember some of the old guys, R.W. Schombach. I don't know if anybody knows. I love that guy. He was great. And then E.V. Hill. That guy was good too. I love those guys. Dwight Thompson. He was my brother Mitch got saved through, he was watching Dwight Thompson on TBN. And it's just, and that's what I always thought of when you were an evangelist. You know, you're up there, you're, but we're all evangelists. That's what I've come to realize, that we're all evangelists. That's what we're called to do. Just because we don't have a big show or we're not standing in a big tent, we're evangelists. We're an evangelist. Anthony washing window, preaching, talking to Christ to some lady. That's being an evangelist. And that's what we're called to do. So it's just, it's awesome. And then the final one is evangelism. The spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching or personal witness. This is what we're supposed to do. This is what is the old saying? The rubber hits the road. This is where we're supposed to shine. We're supposed to be out there telling people about Jesus Christ. That's what we're told to do. And I'm going to read a few scriptures. Before Jesus left the face of the earth, his last words. All authority in heaven and earth has been... Oh, this is... come on. What are the verses? Yeah, I caught you. Verses 18 through 20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And then we have Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all the creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Pretty strong words there. I mean, it's pretty basic stuff right there. Believe and live, don't believe and die. Or you're condemned. I don't know what's worse, condemned or dying. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in tongues. They will pick up snakes. These verses have been taken to the limits by certain sects. With sext. And when they do, S-E-C-T-S. I should have spelt that. With their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven. He sat on the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. That's a key word, everywhere. That's where we're supposed to preach, is everywhere. We're not just supposed to sit on a corner and sit here and talk to a certain people. We're supposed to get out. We're supposed to go everywhere and be an evangelist. And then Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And if you notice, I've moved into the high-tech area. Here's number one, here's number two, and here's number three. So these are top-quality bookmarks. They'll be on sale with my CDs after I'm done here. And once again, I went into the internet, and they came up with there's four components of evangelism. One is teaching, which is also preaching. Two was the gospel. Three is an aim, hope, or desire. And four is to persuade. So what they're saying is you're teaching the gospel and your aim is to persuade these people to accept Christ as their Savior, which is pretty good. And they said if one of those four things aren't involved in your evangelism, it's not working. Well, I added a couple of myself. One is, I thought should be the most important one, prayer. You have to pray. Every single morning we should be praying, God, put somebody in our way and let us be able to step forward and talk to these people. Let's don't be afraid to say it. Let's don't shrink back. It's just, and the next one, be prepared. So it says in 1 Peter 3:15, be prepared to give an answer to why you believe the glory. And it's just, in this day and age, we have to be strong. We can't be afraid. And like we just read, Jesus' last words, we have to be obedient. Luke 11:27-28. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." Jesus replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Anybody that's ever taught up here, even the pastors, sort of speaking, obedience is huge. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Pretty basic. Psalm 128:1. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. So it's pretty obvious God wants us to obey his word. And Jesus' last words were to go out and preach the word. So by being an evangelist, doing evangelism work, we're just obeying God. Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer food for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your God and Father in heaven. Which brings me back to my sister. Whenever I hear salt, whenever she ate, she'd be pouring salt like crazy. I go, "Mary, what are you doing?" She goes, "We're the salt of the earth. I can eat salt." I'm going, "What?" I go, "But, you know, that, whatever you want to do, sister, you're older than me." But I just always thought that was funny. But in Acts 13:47, "For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." The Apostle Paul in Acts 20:24. "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. And the task is to testify to the good news of God's grace." Once again, that's what we're supposed to do. Testify to God. Be the salt. Be the light. Psalm 105:1, "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done." The world we live in today is terrible. It's so anti-Christian, it's unbelievable. We see it more and more and more every day. And as important as it is to go out there and evangelize, I think it is just as important as how we live our lives. There's no doubt in my mind that people are watching. They're always watching. The devil has your spotlight on us. People are watching us at all times. The old adage, actions speak louder than word, is more true today than ever, because we are under a microscope. Ephesians 5:15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. They said this over 2,000 years ago, the days are evil. Hasn't changed. The days are still evil. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Once again, these people, they're not saying anything to anybody, but people are watching them. They're looking at them, how they're acting, what they're doing. 1 Peter 2:11 and 12, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. God sacrificed his son for us. Jesus sacrificed his life for us. So it's the least we can do is go out there and let people know what is being done, that has been done on our behalf. Because, you know, in the Bible release classes, these kids don't even know anything. They don't know who Moses is. They don't know who Noah is. Some of them don't even know who Jesus is. So it's just amazing to me what's going on in the schools. Well, not that amazing. I see it all the time, hear about it all the time, about what's going on. In Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All right. It's my last scripture, and then I'm going to close. This is the one that I was talking about, Romans 1. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles. I'll close here. As a Christian, we bring the salt of Jesus to a dying world that thirsts for direction. One, we flavor the world. Two, we give it a life-sustaining element. Three, as salt, we can make the world thirst for God. And this, I'm going to close with this sentence. And thank everybody for coming. It's been a great time. Don't be the salt that loses its flavor. That's it. Thank you so much.
Amen. Give him a hand. Thank you very much. Excellent job, of course.
Thanks.
Before we wind up, we got a minute or two. Is there a fast question? I know Mark was speaking so fast we couldn't jump in there.
Sorry.
No. That's fine.
Sarge, I didn't want to come back.
You got a question, Sarge. You will be back, yes.
Oh.
Yes. Hold on. I'm sorry, sir.
The seven apostles?
No, there were the 12 apostles. It reminded me of Moses back in the Old Testament. He had so many things going on, he couldn't do it all himself. And the apostles, if I'm correct, they were given a hard time because they weren't taking care of the Jewish believers in Jerusalem, the widows, the poor, the needy, the hungry. So what they did is they designated seven people to be, deacons. And Philip was one of them, deacons, and Philip was one of them.
Anyone else before we conclude here? Last chance. And try and take these words that he spoke and listen to them. He made a lot of sense, right? We need to walk this out. What good is coming to these classes and gaining all this knowledge unless we use it, right? Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
All right. Prayer down front for anybody who wants to be a part of it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we're dismissed.